I'm John Bond. Welcome to Move Yourself Happy. Made for fitness enthusiasts who want to make their passion their profession. Are you unhappy in your present job? Are you passionate about health and fitness? Do you want to release your true potential? If the answer is yes, this podcast is for you. I will be teaching you the specific knowledge that every trainer and coach needs to be successful. So listen closely as I share my expertise with you. So just like me, you can love what you do. Dan, good to have you on and nice to finally meet you. I've obviously heard lots about you. And I think like we've had some email conversations,
yeah.
But we've never met.
Never
so here we are, yeah.
So before
we begin, I'll should probably introduce this guy.
Hi, don't mind me. I'm just sat in the corner, just chilling. All
right. George Horlock from George Horlock Coaching is back on as well. You're an old friend of Dan, so it seemed
kind of great to catch up. It's been a long time, but we're back to reuniting.
Yeah. I was thinking actually next year it will be 10 years since we first met.
Is that right?
Which is mad.
Wow, so this is 10 years. Almost the 10 year anniversary.
And he hasn't aged today.
No, I feel special that I'm a part of this. Dan, for everyone listening then, just tell us a bit about you and what it is you do.
So I run a program called Way of the Viking, which is a men's mental fitness program. Call it mental fitness, but we work on everything basically. It's just that if you don't put the mental side, everyone thinks it's just the fitness program. If it's just the fitness program, but a fitness program, but we tend to do a lot of work on all the things in terms of making men feel better in terms of their mental health, or I prefer to call it mental fitness, and lots of outdoor pursuits, lots of challenges that come with it, and just creating lots of vibe around that really at the moment. I also still do some PT and I do online coaching as well, behavior change coaching as well, so a few different hats that
excellent,
I work with.
Excellent. Yeah. I won't say the person's full name, but I bumped into somebody that I know, Nick. I don't know how many Nicks you've got, yeah. if that helps, but he was speaking very highly of it, absolutely loved it, and speaks very highly of you. This is really interesting though, so there's lots of things that resonate for me, like the word Viking just excites me anyway,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
don't know why,
yeah.
Is that a guy thing, do you think?
I think it must be, yeah, everyone's, a lot of people say, it's just the Viking, I had to join, because it's had Viking in it,
yeah.
Absolutely, no, the reason I came with it, my wife's Swedish, so I've been to Scandinavia last 16 years, sort of every year for 3-4 times a year at least, and then that's kind of culminated in recent years of got a place in northern Sweden and in Lapland, and I just thought it'd be quite a cool thing. I like the whole Viking ethos, the whole thing about adventure, and take away some elements of the Viking history, but in terms of their sense of adventure and everything else, then I love all that they're about. So I thought it'd be quite a cool name, good thing to work with.
Yeah, that's amazing. I'm like one more question away from signing up. Vikings, behaviour change, a lot of psychology in there. I'm assuming to keep with the true Viking branding, there's a bit of cold water immersion going on with that sort of stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, so Saturday post-gym, it's in the sea all year round. It's kind of summer, winter, doesn't matter what it is, you're going in the sea basically. So one run, if it's too rough, we have to be a bit careful on the safety side, but generally we'll get in anyway and make sure that everyone gets nicely refreshed after a good workout basically.
And what's your feedback been from the guys that are, so just specifically with the cold water immersion, what's their sort of their take on it? Are they feeling the benefits from it? Is there some resistance?
Yeah, there's always resistance, but I've been doing it for years, and it's still like, you still have that, right, I've got to go and do it. But afterwards now, the guys love it. There's some weeks where I've sort of said, you haven't got to go in today, because it's, and people will still go in, whatever, basically. And a lot of the guys, it's the thing, they kind of dread the first bit, and it's like, we're going in, but once they see everyone else going in, then it's, they get in there and they get in the swing of it, and now they all love it. They really feel the benefits straight after the session. They feel it's a good thing to do anyway. They'll feel better and less sore afterwards, etc. So really beneficial on that front. And from the mental side of it, I mean, after cold showers or cold water, you can't help but feel elated, and it's a great way to start your day. So
yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, there's tons of research on it, isn't there? But there's definitely, for my own sort of anecdotal stuff, just me doing it myself, and like we've done it, haven't we?
Yeah.
I bought one of those ones on Amazon. It's over by the cabin,
right,
there. We've gone on it, and we find ourselves afterwards like a bit silly, like, you know, like you've had a couple of drinks, we'll get all giggly, weren't we? And we were like what's going on here? Like, all we've done is get in some cold water, and I feel like I've just smoked a joint or something. Is that the sort of experience they're getting? Is that in the branding?
Yeah, that's it. Come here, you feel high.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it's about, yeah.
Without breaking any laws.
Without breaking
any laws,
exactly.
Great.
It's a nice natural high. So, no, it definitely has that sense of, yeah, that elation, isn't it, that comes with it? Or it's that whole sense of, I feel great. So, absolutely. It's a big part of it.
So you guys, they're coming to you, and they're obviously getting like the instant sort of buzz of what you get after training and what you get after going in the cold water. What sort of long-term things are you working on with them?
All different things. So they have, basically, work week to week. They have a set of tasks that they try and work through. There's a leaderboard and things like that as well. So there's all challenges in terms of tribal battles. So we have all different tribes, which is the fun bit, because I have different tribe names for each tour that we do. So they're kind of 10-week programs that we work with, and with each tour we have different tribes that we put everyone in, and I mix it up every time if guys repeat, so that no one's ever on the same team, so everyone gets to know each other. So like this time we've got the Savages and the Invaders and the Blood Axes, and they're all kind of, and everyone gets their tribe colours, so really into that.
Right.
So each week you've got to try and earn points for your team, your tribe, as well as there's an individual leaderboard as well, and you get an MVV, which is the most valuable Viking, is the end sort of goal for the individual, and the sacred shoehorn, which sounds a bit silly, but from the first challenge we did, one of the guys, we did a walk, and it was meant to pack as light as we could, because we were doing the whole South Down Way, and the idea was just to wild camp bits fit. There's only a few of us at the
100 miles?
Yeah, 103 miles, so we did that. I mean, the idea was to do it over 3 days, and camp for a couple of the days, but we kind of underestimated it a bit, so in the end people sort of went off after each one, and in the end I was the only one that got to the end having to walk through the night, but all the guys got to certain distances, and since then we've learned quite a lot and pushed it on, and we've done lots of challenges since. But one of the guys, packing light, put a shoehorn in, put eggs in, all these sorts of things. So when he said, he put a deck chair in his thing, didn't make it. He made it to like 35 miles, which he was still pretty chuffed with. Didn't make it the full way, and mainly because he was carrying half his house. So the sacred shoehorn has come on the back of that. So it's the shoehorn that he brought. We kind of, the tribal battle is everyone's after this sacred shoehorn that's just become a bit of folklore, really.
Yeah, it, I so. Love that. So, but. Well, there's so many questions I want to ask you now, but so one of them, were you into role play games when you were younger?
Some of these names, I feel like.
Yeah, so, I think play is so important. I think we forget how to play, don't you? You become an adult and everyone thinks everything's got to be serious, and particularly doing a program around mental fitness, like, everyone's there for different reasons, but it doesn't have to be, it can be fun. You know, the whole point of the thing is fun, and I know one of our mutual friends, I won't say his name, but he said, you know, laughter is best medicine. He said he hasn't laughed so much since he's been in it. It's just that whole vibe. There's lots of banter, if you want to call it that, lots of different bits of camaraderie, but basically most of the time we're laughing, really. It's just everyone clubbing in, taking a mick out of each other, and having the names and playing. That's part of it. It's just buying into the whole ethos, really.
Yeah, definitely. There's a book I read years ago. It's on my Kindle. It's called Play,
right?
And it talks about the importance of play, and we all have different roles within play. So some people like to be the joker.
Yeah,
some people like to actually be the organizer of the play and the events and stuff.
Yeah.
But one of the things that was interesting in it, it said that if you look at all the different animal species, they all play, and they wouldn't do that if there wasn't some sort of evolutionary advantage to it.
Yeah.
And one of the theories is, it's pretty sound theory, is that actually it's rehearsal. We're rehearsing something that might, you know, come about in the future. And it's our way of just running through that in a very low stressful environment. So like wrestling and play fighting.
Yeah.
Like me and my son are always sort of wrestling and play fighting.
Yeah.
And we find it fun. But I'm guessing that we find it fun because it's also, you know, helping us potentially in the future.
I've not heard that. That makes absolute sense.
Yeah. I'm not suggesting you start wrestling with your guys as well, but
a few of them have wrestled.
Why not? So yeah, this what you're doing sounds absolutely amazing. By the way, it's like it's quite infectious, isn't it? As you're talking about it, I'm like, Jesus, this is why has this not been someone started this earlier? This is great. Like what every guy needs. Obviously, I'm generalising, but so yeah, you're working big on the mental health side of things.
Yeah.
And have some of your guys ever, you know, given you some feedback on how it's sort of carried over into their day-to-day life since they've been working with you?
Yeah, lots in terms of stress reduction and things like that. People said they've just dealt with work stress and things much better. They just find anxieties a little bit lower about life generally, because I just literally put a post up today, one of our guys in one of his testimonials said that he just wakes up every day and he just kind of feels happy. He said he doesn't know why, just because he knows in the background the Vikings are there, there's chat coming through, there's things that are going on. It's just that reduction in your stress and doing all the right things that make you feel better means that you're waking up feeling happier. And for me, I mean, mental health, mental fitness, whatever you want to call it, it's about how confident you are in life and your own self-esteem and everything else. So if you're doing things, you're ticking off tasks day after day, every time you tick a task, your self-esteem rises another notch. So, and these guys are ticking off a lot of tasks because they're in competition as well. Yeah. So every day they're like, I've done another day and I've completed all those tasks. And it's, so they just feel great mentally and just having that camaraderie, the support. The big thing, because we have the campfire chats, which is really quite a big component of it, means that everyone gets to a slightly deeper level of knowing each other. So when someone is having a bit of an off day, for whatever, an off couple of days, people know immediately. Like, I get messages going, is thing alright? I haven't heard from him for a couple of days. Whereas most groups of mates, you just don't notice if someone hasn't been on a chat for a while. But immediately, like, is he alright? I don't know. And like, today I've had someone who's just busy at work, but someone says, is he alright? I haven't heard from him for a bit on the chat. And so he'll get a few messages from people and it'll prompt me as well. And I go, yeah, you're right, actually, I better go. And then just have a check, see if everyone's good. And they're like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just busy at work or whatever it might be. And or if someone is having a bit of a rough time, whatever's going on, it gives them a chance to just get it off their chest and have a bit of a chat about it. So, yeah, it's really, really important on that front, and just to share with everyone, share their issues, share whatever's going on in life, basically.
That's really important. Oh, should turn that off. that's brilliant. So, with that, do you remember, there was a campaign a while back called the Ask Twice campaign?
Yeah.
And it was aimed at guys, because If you say to a guy, are you all right? Their default answer is, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then the idea is you ask again, yeah. And by that point they might actually go, well, you know, and then talk about what's actually up with them. So it sounds like you're providing that, you're providing them with this tribe, you're providing them with a purpose that they're all working towards, the same... Yeah, huge, real strong sense of purpose. And not only that, it's like they're not on their own with this purpose, they're all striving towards the same goal. So that's absolutely helping create tighter bonds between the group. You've got the exercise in there, you've got the ice baths. Is there like marriage guidance counselling there as well? Like,
well, funny you say that. We have part of the thing, we have coaching models. So like one of the things that they don't know yet, but this one that's coming up, some of the guys we have one that we all talk about, like love languages and things like that, because I do think it's the stuff that gets silenced, no one talks about. But actually, people could improve their relationships quite easy just by going understanding what their partner's love language is, for example, what their own love language is, and all these sorts of things that actually they're quite important in a relationship, you know. It's so these things we do add in, it's something to talk about, it's something to raise, and there'll probably be some, I expect, some jokes around it as well and some people throwing things, but it is an issue that we can talk about. It's just, there's nothing that's kind of off the card, so yeah, we do throw that sort of stuff in there as well. So,
yeah, and it's nice because you probably get a chance to hear different points of view as well, don't you? And you know, I guess amongst the group you can sort of mull things over and almost some ideas that you had yourself personally, you might have had quite strong feelings or thoughts about, but actually then you hear what everyone else has to say and you go, do you know what, that's good to hear that perspective, I'm changing my mind on that now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we all think we're the only person with that problem or that thing that's going on, or you've got that view, but actually just speaking, that's the good thing about a big group that it is now, there's always someone that's in the same boat or been through the same boat, or someone that you can share it with. Actually, I'm not the only person that's got this going on. And it's just a great position to chat. And that's where the hikes come in, because we do on a Sunday morning, it's all about just getting out hiking, and we've got an end goal challenge which is usually related to hiking, and there's an exercise component to it, but it's really an opportunity just to couple up with someone who you can have a chat with and get to know other people and get out of your comfort zone and talk about things that are maybe a little bit deeper than just what the football scores are or whatever else it might be. So,
yeah, for sure. And I know from my own point of view, if I'm walking with somebody, if you're like side by side,
yeah,
I don't know why, but it's less confrontational and you're more likely to get a bit deeper, I think, and share something that, like, if you're sat directly opposite someone, you're like, tell me what's going on in your life right now. Is there anything I can, you know, it's a bit like, I'm all right. But side by side, walking, you know, in nature, you feel like you can just be a bit more authentic, I think.
Definitely. I know there was some good research by Calm, the charity Calm, and they showed that particularly for men, that was the best way to talk about things, because if you sat someone down and you had a chat with them, they just most still find it hard to talk about it. But out there, not, as you said, exactly walking next to each other, not making eye contact necessarily, it's much more... Yeah, people are much more open to speaking about slightly more in-depth issues and things. So,
yeah
and I found it quite interesting. I don't know if with online coaching, it was speaking to someone like this was sometimes people find it more difficult. But online, sometimes just having that camera was a bit of a barrier in terms of a positive barrier, that they felt they were just talking to their phone, and people were able to open up quite a bit more that way as well. Other people found it differently, but there's different ways of talking to people, and it works for different people. So,
yeah, that's important to remember, isn't it? You know, what works for one doesn't necessarily work for everybody. I want to come back to the hiking stuff in a minute, because it's probably one of my favourite subjects. Like that whole the walking, the talking, the getting out in nature. Love all that. But you mentioned the fire pit thing, and I know George, you love a fire pit, don't you?
Yeah, so hi everyone, I'm here as well, and yeah, no, I love a fire pit, mate. And talking about nature just quickly, certainly when you're walking out in nature, don't you feel like you're just so much more relaxed because of the colours, the smells, everything that's going on around you, the noise? You become more relaxed, and I think you feel like you can be a lot more open with the person next to you, even if you don't know them all that well, because you're both in the exact same environment and you both sort of feel the same, you know, emotions and whatever else you're going through, which is lovely. So that's great. And same with the fire pit. I mean, you know, we've had loads of fire pits together up on the downs, you know, and you can just, you can talk about so many things, and it's such a human thing, you know, like we've done it for so long, you know, it dates back to, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years ago. It's something that we've always done, and I think there's definitely something in that when you do that with someone else, and you end up just talking about things that are a lot more meaningful, as opposed to, like you were saying, just, you know, what's going on with the football or on the news or whatever. Do you think there's a nature element behind it, or do you think it's more of a humanity thing?
In terms of being out in nature, or in terms of the campfires particularly?
Both.
I think there's something about great about nature, isn't it? I mean, like you said, I think the rest of our life, everything has to be in order, everything's square. We look at, you know, in a house, everything's square, everything's kind of done in nice edges. When you're outside, it's kind of, I love that phrase, perfectly imperfect. It's kind of, you don't expect a tree to look perfectly square or perfect. Everything's just is what it is. And and we kind of, that makes it everything feel more relaxed, and you can just take it in and enjoy it. There's beauty all around you, even when it's the worst weather, it's still, there's great things to see. And it's that research into awe, you know, that sense of awe, I think that's is huge, isn't it, in terms of your mental health and your mental fitness, and just being in a state of awe regularly, how much that can impact you positively. So nature, there's nothing much more awesome than that, really. So
And I think nature as well certainly humbles you, doesn't it? Because it makes you realise that, oh, I'm not actually the centre of the universe. Like, there's so much going on. There's other animals out here. There's other life forms. And actually, you know, who am I to think that whatever about myself? And you kind of drop your guard a bit, and then you realise that we're more similar than we are dissimilar, you know? What was I going to say about that? There was something that I was going to say, but I can't remember, so you fill in the gap.
Well, when you guys were talking about the fire pit, and you're saying like it being like a primitive thing, and we've been doing it for all these years, I also wonder as well, like, fire has been obviously used for thousands of years by us for keeping warm, scaring away predators, cooking our food, giving us light. So I wonder if by sitting around a fire pit, you instantly feel safe.
It
almost makes it feel like a safer space, so you can then open up more and talk more and be yourself more, because you just naturally feel safer. I don't know, do you think there's something in that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's probably the hub of the community, wasn't it? If you're in hunter-gatherer tribes and everything, it probably was where everything happened. So I mean, we've evolved so quickly, technology's evolved so quickly, we haven't caught up yet, I don't think, and it's still a lot of issues in that. So I think naturally we go back to those primitive things, and we feel actually at home with it, I suspect. So I think that's probably a really good good way of looking at it.
So I always thought as well, you can compare how you feel after a campfire versus how you feel spending 2 hours on the computer.
Yeah.
Like, the worlds apart.
Yeah.
If anything, when you're on the computer for too long, you start feeling a bit ill. Like, you've got the eyesore and, you know, headache and dehydrated and you've forgotten to eat and, like, all your senses are off. But when you're by that fire, you just feel so immersed in it, which is lovely. So I'm so glad that you do that with your guys.
Well, I should say, actually, we don't actually have a campfire. Okay. We call it a campfire chat before we've had all this chat for a set point. So we call it a campfire chat, but that is online, actually, that bit, because we have everyone at different places.
Yeah, cool.
We try to do the odd thing. So when we went to Lapland, we had it around the camp, we had the snow and stuff like that. But that's something in the summer. We're hoping to do a few more actual live ones. But,
Get them in when you can.
Yeah, exactly.
So like a virtual campfire. That's
nice.
We
call it a campfire in the Viking theme. So it's part of the thing, but literally each tribe has their own chat, so they come on because a lot of the guys are still working away, if they're abroad, whatever it might be. It means everyone can kind of come in and be in part of it and stick to it.
Do you know what?
That's so good.
I'm fascinated to know what the butterfly effect of the work that you're doing, because you've got all these guys, so you're like, clearly you're enriching their life. Like, even just providing them with the exercise opportunity, you're enriching their life. You're also providing them with a community, you're also providing them with a chance to chat and safe space. You're giving so much value with everything you're doing there. It's really impressive. So yes, their lives are definitely going to be much better, but that means they're better dads, they're better husbands, they're better friends, they're better sons. Like, what's the butterfly effect of that? I mean, I hope you feel proud about what you're doing there, Dennis.
Yeah, I mean, I'm proud of all of them, because I think, you know, it's a brave thing. So particularly the first guys, it was a really brave thing to come into it. It's kind of, I put it out there, what have I meant to, no one knew what it was. It was kind of, I put some bits of promos about it, but the first guys that come in did it and adopted it amazingly and really bought into it. And so now when you get new people coming in, the culture's there, and for me, that's what the whole purpose of this is, to create a culture change. I think that in terms of getting men to talk, you know, for me, I lost a great friend to suicide in 2020, which kind of sparked a lot of this, and I lost a number of friends through school and who have, for the same reason. And for me, it's, I think we talk about, we say men need to talk, but most men won't talk, even if you're asked twice, even with the Ask Twice campaign, most men will still say, no, everything's fine. They think they've got to do it all themselves. And so it's trying to find a way that men can talk, but not feel frightened about it. And actually, the opposite, see everyone else benefiting from what they're doing and think, oh, I want to go and talk, because that's going to make me much stronger and make me more productive and everything else. So I want to be part of something that's going to see that happen. So one of our guys, for example, he came into it, and he has literally turned his life around. He's kind of, we always do a value. One of our coaching models is all about the values to start with. It's one of the first things we look at. And I hope you won't mind me us saying, but one of his first things, the pub was like his main value. And he kind of, when he looked at his life, that's not what I want my life to be. And that's why he joined. And he completely, that was a big switch in his head, really. And he's been amazing, completely changed his life around from there. And as a result of that, other guys saw him and were like, wow, you're looking good, you're suddenly getting fit, you're doing all this stuff. And they're like, what's he doing? So then a lot of the next influx was on the back of seeing what his progress was. And again, the next influx on the back of seeing those guys. So they want to be part of it. And the talking bit, they understand it's still daunting. The first guys that come and always say, I'm a bit nervous about the campfire chats, I'm a bit nervous about this sort of stuff, you know, the exercise I'm looking forward to. But immediately they're kind of buying into it. Once they're in it, they see the other guys be a little bit vulnerable and a little bit open, then everyone gets amongst it. That's fine, this is a real safe space for me to talk about whatever, and I know I'm going to benefit from this and get stronger.
That's really, sorry to hear about your friend, by the way, that's really sad. That's so good what you're doing there. This showing your vulnerabilities as well is so important, isn't it? Because it's really easy, especially now with like social media and etc. It's really easy for us to just look at someone's life or an organisation and think they've just got everything spot on, haven't they? And I don't feel like that, so I must be broken, or I must be doing things badly. I'm failing, exactly. But whenever I've got to know anyone on an intimate basis, I don't know anyone that isn't dealing with something.
100%, yeah.
Like, no, it's absolutely everyone, isn't
everyone,
it?
Everyone,
yeah. We all have our insecurities. And it's actually very endearing. So I've mentioned this on a podcast before, but it's fresh in my head and it's relevant. But I've been doing a bit of stand-up, haven't I, John?
Really?
I have, yeah. And something I kind of learned a long time ago anyway, and feedback that I've had is it's very endearing when you show your vulnerabilities, even within your comedy set. Because it's kind of, for people watching, it's a little bit, what's the word? Not satisfying, but like, you know, like, he's just like me. He's got insecurities. So, you know, it's great that you're encouraging the guys to do that. And sometimes you have to wait for somebody else to go first, don't you? And then you're like, oh, now I can can share it. 100%. Have you noticed with certain guys, they've been very, very quiet and then all of a sudden they've started to open up?
I mean, one of the first things we do, we get people to just say why they're there. So it's like part of it. They just get everyone to come in. They have to put a video on just saying why they're there. And then, and the first time we did it, one of the guys, one of the new guys came in and he put on and said, yeah, I just want to lose a bit of weight. Just want to get a bit fitter. And it's kind of what I'm here for. And that's cool. That's good. If everyone's in there, whatever they're there for, then... Next person coming on was just a little bit more open, said, yeah, I feel I'm carrying a bit too much stress around at home. I want to be a better dad. I want to be, whatever it might be, a better partner, etc. I just feel I need to work on myself a little bit more so that I can be better at home. The next person comes on, a little bit more detail. And suddenly the first person, after we'd gone through about five of the videos that had all come through, he then came on and said, hang on, I've got to change that. It's not fair for me to leave it at that. I've seen everyone else and I appreciate what everyone else has done. Actually, I'm here because of this and I want to work on this. And and it was really quite powerful. I think everyone was like, wow, because this is a guy, you know, he's very, you'd never think any of this that was going on as well. Again, it's on the outside. It's lots of strength and almost aggression that you wouldn't expect any of it. So for him to come to that way, it was really a real eye-opener for everyone. And I think it's the bravest thing and the biggest leadership that they can take into the whole group, because then it just sets the whole tone for everyone else and it creates that safe space for everyone to speak.
That's so interesting. I had Dean Hammond, who he sat where you're sitting, and he was talking about, so I work with him at Brighton Hove Albion, and I said to him on the podcast how when I walked into the club, I would be a bit intimidated because I was quite young at the time. I'd be quite intimidated by this horde of male football players, all these big egos, you know, they're all tightly bonded, they're athletes, etc. And so I wasn't really myself because I didn't have that confidence. And he said, guys, so interesting you say that. And he's like, because they really were not, they were all just guys with insecurities.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, well, full of bravado.
Say about egos, that is basically, when there was, you know, all football changers saying, oh, we've just got to manage egos. You're basically managing insecurities, aren't you? That is what it is. Yeah. That is what it's about.
Yeah.
That is what it is.
It's so kind true. Of, yeah. Can I pop a few questions?
Yeah, go for it.
I've got so much on my mind because it's amazing what you're doing. I just wanted to...
a little timer. Bing!
Exactly. I just want to reiterate the point that I've known Dan for quite some time. Met him when I was like 19 years old. Always very inspiring. When I was a young PT, I was always like, I want to be like Dan.
I wanted to be like George.
Oh, there you go. Should have traded places. However, back then you were just, you know, Dan the PT.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does seem like you're still the same great guy now, but it does seem like you're evolving and you're not just Dan the PT anymore.
Yeah.
You're almost Dan the life coach.
Yeah.
Where did that come from? What sparked that idea to go from, I'm just going to train clients one-to-one, men, women, whatever, to I'm going to work exclusively with men, make it all about, you know, wear the Viking, and it to... go further than just fitness and actually take a more holistic approach. When did that come about?
I went to university. I did sports science at university, and all of my sports science and social science. So a lot of my modules, I tended to do all the psychology side of things. I was always fascinated by psychology anyway. It's something I've always kept researching and everything all the way through. It's something I think everything derives from that, you know, our physicality, everything comes from there. So it's always been something I've been fascinated by, interested by. And then I started doing NLP, going through all NLP training, things like that, to understand it all, and to do coaching courses on that, to learn to be an NLP coach, etc. And that was kind of where I was at when lockdown happened and all that sort of stuff. I was just trying to make a few transitions, see how I could change things. Lockdown forced a lot of changes, obviously, and I thought I need to do something different as well. So I then trained to become a behaviour change coach and a life coach as well, and most of that was all based online. Started doing that and it was going really, really well with women, men, everyone, whoever, it was primarily women actually, a few men. But as I was doing it, I was getting good results with it. There's a few factors. Firstly, for me, I suddenly felt a bit like I was an accountant on a computer all day. And I thought, this is not what I want to be. You know, it's great. I'm telling people to go and I'm trying to help them in terms of their fitness and their health and everything else. But I'm sitting here and I'm feeling that I'm getting less healthy, less fitter. I'm sitting in front of the screen all the time. That's not what I want to be. So I went back when it opened up. I still did PT, but I kind of limited down to just mornings, which is kind of where I'm at now with it, because I love it. It gets me up. I go and do it in the morning, and then I'm back and I'm all online from there. But within that, obviously, my friend died, and I had a lot of death all around me at that time. I lost my man, lost my mum, lots of family members, lots of other friends, all sorts of things happened at that time. And it was just kind of one of those things where I thought, time's short, I really want to support people. I've got this real purpose around what happened to my friend and other people, and that's driving me to do something to support this and try and change the culture, because it doesn't feel right. This should be happening. The numbers are, you know, 3/4 of suicides are male. They're like it or not, they're the population at most that need. So I think there's something has to change to change that statistic. Now I'm just little old me, and it's not. But if I can do something in this corner of the world, then who knows what the butterfly effect might be. So that's kind of how it started, and the results. In terms of the behaviour change, I found online they were so much better than anything I was getting in terms of my PT at the time, really. PT had some great successes, but if I'm honest, it depends on the client that came in a lot of the time. They would come in, and some people had great successes, but were just there and they were ready to do it. Other people would have success, and then life would get in the way, and then they'd start again, and you'd have success, and life would get in the way. And it was kind of, okay, so I wanted to find something different. So I thought the mentality is, psychology is the biggest part of it. I need to understand more and more of this and see ways that I can make this more successful, make people stick to it and keep moving forwards. Did the behaviour change for people, had some and much, much more beneficial results, I'd say, in terms of it's just about changing lifestyle, basically, and changing mindset a lot more in depth. But from that, the coaching got much more in depth as well. I could see the changes in people. But the men that I spoke with, they're still quite distanced from some of it. So they got good results. They were really happy with the things I set them to do and the tasks. But the psychology, they would talk somewhat. Sometimes I got some great depth with some guys, but the more, it's about 50-50. Some of them just really wanted to know a general one line without going into too much depth about things. And I thought, it's kind of, there's something missing here. They need some other factors. So that's when I started trying to put all of my, I guess, everything over the years experience into one package, really. And that's where the Viking kind of evolved from, to put all of the behaviour change elements to it, the psychology element of it, but then all of the fitness I've done for all the years, as well as experiences in Scandinavia and everything else, and just kind of put it into one place. And also, I've grown up playing football and all team sports, and that element of camaraderie, I think that's, you know, it makes you do things that you wouldn't normally, it's quite easy to say no to normally. So building all that together, that all kind of came into one package from that point.
Amazing, that's so cool. It sounds like it's something that was always going to happen.
It feels like it now.
Yeah, it was just snowballing this whole time. And often the most successful people and businesses and ideas happen from that snowball effect, where it's, they'll get a little idea, or they'll a slight change in the personality, or they'll be interested in something. And then it doesn't happen straight away. It takes years and years of trial and error, and, you know, learning things about yourself and going through things as you have. And then you realize, actually, do you know what? I think this could be something very purposeful. So that's amazing, mate. Without giving too much away, can you tell us anything about these little tasks? Because you keep mentioning that you have these little daily tasks. Is there anything you can tell us that maybe some of the listeners could benefit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm
daily pillages. Or
daily yeah. Burn down a few villages in the mornings. Yes. Whoever gets the most villages, they're the leaderboard. It's things like, there's a mix. So there'll be something based on a nutrition-based thing, and it's nothing too technical. It's kind of one that, like, we start off just a bit of a clean sweep in terms of the snacks, so it's kind of basically no rubbish in the first day, no crisps, chocolate, just for the first week to kind of change some habits around alcohol. So don't make everyone teetotal. I understand some people like a drink, but they get points for if you get 6 days where you haven't had a drink, because a lot of guys drink every night. That's kind of quite a common thing to do, and that in itself changes massively. I think one of the guys said that he totted it up from the last one, and he'd save like 325 pints or something from just having one day a week rather than regularly. And you wouldn't know that to speak to him. He's kind of just he wouldn't consider himself even a big drinker. It's just one of those things. It's part of after work, have a couple of pints, whatever, and builds up from there. Then there's cold showers. We kind of build up the cold shower therapy as well, so that they're better when they come and see on a Saturday. It's not quite so frightening. And there's always like coaching models that they have to complete every week. There's a different coaching model, various intent steps, all that sort of stuff. And then there's a few bits in terms of mobility is kind of a quite key component of it. So there's a mobility session that they have to complete a couple of times a week, and a strength based session. But they're literally like 5-10 minutes, nothing long at all, because most guys are busy, they've got families, or they've got busy work, whatever it might be. The whole thing is to make it work around your lifestyle, hence why we do early mornings and out of work as much as we can, so people can get home before the family are up even and stuff like that. So yeah,
it sounds what you're doing, it is quite revolutionary, I think, because like for years I've been saying to my students, but just sort of in general conversation with other fitness professionals, that the next stage for personal trainers is actually to learn more about the psychology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because more training, we don't need more training methods. No. We don't need to know more about nutrition. We don't need to, like, all that stuff. We know as much as we need to know about that stuff. But we don't seem to be able to adhere to any of it.
No, especially for Joe Public, innit? It's kind of...
Exactly,
elite level, it's great and everything. So there's more research going into it, and that's great. There probably are little 1% that you can make.
Yeah.
But Joe Public, just to get him to do it, just to do anything, and as simple as possible, that's kind of what it's all about. And it's you know, a massive belief, like we're talking about success, you know, I always remember from GCSE PE that self-efficacy was something that stuck with me all the time, that success breeds success.
Yeah.
So the Kaizen method, which is a lot of what we do, it's kind of that ticking off, getting success today. What can you definitely get done today? What can you get done? Right, tick that off, brilliant. Can you get two things done yet? Yeah. Okay, tick that off. Yeah. Suddenly you're, success, and I'm getting more successful. And the element of team and everything else kind of tackles any of that, one of those days when you're, because none of us are motivated all the time, are we? So there's going to be days when motivation drops, but when you've got a team behind you going, come on, don't last it. And then it's like, I'll go and do it even when I don't feel like it. And, you know, I've had to do it for years for football and everything else. And so that kind of tackles that side of it as well. And so that's how I see it, kind of tackles all of that element. It's kind of building up the habits, changing habits, building successes, and having that team foundation around it as well, at the same time as working on your own mentality and your own self-esteem and tackling whatever it might be that's been holding you back or stopping you sustaining it.
With the some of the tasks that you're getting them to do, so like obviously the cold water immersion, but then even just with the strength stuff, obviously it's taking them out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
And do you think indirectly they are learning that we have to step out of our comfort zone if we want to grow and develop? But not only that it's okay, it's fine. Yeah. Like you, because there is definitely, I don't want to start ranting, I'm like that, holding back from like a middle-aged rant about, you know, youth of today. But there is, millennials, no. But there is a thing at the moment, isn't it, where young people, no, I don't want to say young people, that's ages, just people.
Speak your heart, John.
Even myself, all right, we live in the Western world, it's generally pretty comfortable, we've got running water, we've got heat, we've got all these lovely luxuries, we've got numerous streaming services, you watch anything you want.
Yeah.
So we live in such a comfortable world that I swear we are beginning to become hypersensitive to the slightest bit of discomfort.
Yeah.
So we have to take ourselves to those places of discomfort to remind ourselves it's okay to feel discomfort and we'll be absolutely fine. And I feel like a lot of what you're doing is actually indirectly, maybe unconsciously or unconsciously, teaching your guys that, hey, look, we're experiencing discomfort and we're fine. Yeah. And in fact, we're not just fine, we're developing, we're growing, exactly. You know.
100%. Absolutely. I saw it's in the Comfort Crisis book, and they had the genetics of all the men in the world, and it's kind of, and they took all different components, and the Icelandic men were found to be superior genetics to everyone else, and the only thing they can surmise about that is the fact that there are a load of Vikings, which is crap.
Yeah.
Guys just went on chucked on a big rock in the middle of the middle of the coldest, because if you've been to Iceland, it's the coldest place I've ever been, and that's with a house in Lapland. It's the wind is brutal and it's freezing, but it's beautiful. Like, mate, one of my favourite places I've ever been.
Yeah.
But they're chucked there with not a lot that grows, nothing really happens. So evolution, they've had to, because it's uncomfortable, but as a result, they've had to evolve to be stronger, everything else, the longevity of life, everything that comes with it, that discomfort is kind of, the argument is, has made them genetically stronger and everything else. So yeah, I think we're slowly devolving, aren't we, in terms of we're getting more technology as humans, we're devolving gradually. So I think the more discomfort we can have, the better for the future.
Yeah,
it's like becoming comfortable being uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you know,
100%.
It's like a superpower, that, isn't it?
Massively.
If you
can
do, the better you get at exactly what you just said there, that is like a superpower.
Because then it translates to all things in life. Yeah, you know, 100%, like relationships, friendships, the gym, mental health, whatever it might be, it translates, which is awesome. And quickly on the mental health thing, I notice and love how you keep calling it mental fitness. Yeah. Is there a reason why you preferentiate saying mental fitness than mental health?
Yeah, 100%. Because of my men primarily as well, I think mental health is, and it's changing. It really is. The stigma's changing from it all. But health, to me, if you talk about physical health, if I said, you need to look after your health, when you're, all right, well, not your age, George. I don't know how old you are, but we're kind of
45 in July.
I think I was so similar.
16, no.
But it seems a long way off, don't you? Look at it. That's why people still smoke and think people carry on doing it. It's just, you talk about health, it's not that inspiring until you have a health crisis.
Yeah.
I think it's the same with mental health. You talk about it and go, I should work on my mental health. I should, But it seems until you have a health crisis, a mental health crisis, something that happens, you won't focus on it.
Yeah.
Fitness, on the other hand. Now, you'll build that. For men particularly, they know they're proud to feel fitter. If they know they can be more productive and they can work on their fitness and it's going to make them more productive at work and everything's going to be more successful in their life generally, suddenly that's something I'll work on, that mental fitness. That sounds up my tree. And to do that, you're working on it's the same thing to an extent. You're working on your mental health, but it's just people will go for that. I think people buy
into that. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, because you can relate it to athletes as well, can't you?
Absolutely.
Like, you think about the best athletes has ever been. Michael Phelps, I was reading, did tons of stuff on his they call it mindset. I mean, to me, it's the same thing. Mental fitness, mindset. And some of the visualization drills that he did, I bet you probably do a lot of it with your guys, the same sort of stuff they use. And it's what athletes have been doing to be the best at sport.
Yeah.
But there's no reason why we can't be doing it to be the best at life.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to feel happier.
It
doesn't always, it's also that thing, isn't it? There's the sport element of it and performance, but also just to feel better. It's like to feel happier. It's, we're often striving for things all the time. I need to be this, I need to be doing this, I need to be getting to that point, I need to hit this target. Just appreciating what's around us, just be present. The more often you're present, the more often you're happy. It's as simple as that. Whenever you look at your happiest moments, I'm sure it is at a time when you are just fully engaged, present in that moment, not thinking about work, whatever else is going on. You're just there and in it. And whatever that might be, a concert, your wedding day with your kids, whatever it might be, you're there. And the more you can do that, that's a huge component of what we do. With the task wise, we have bits where we come back to just taking moments to be present and actually acknowledging it and going, so you kind of train that muscle to be present more often and actually think about, without overthinking it, just naturally taking things in. That's beautiful. I'm going to take a moment just to appreciate that or spend some time with your kids and just be with them without distractions and everything else. More present we can be, the happier we can be. And that's all part of mental fitness as far as I see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's some good, I'm not going to give you a number, give me your best three, but if there was a handful, a collection of things that you think people could potentially work on to help themselves become more resilient and happier, what would you recommend?
I think a lot of what we said in getting out of your comfort zone, I think that's really important. Doing things all the time that are going to test you a little bit. Set yourself targets, have that you want to achieve, that are things to work towards. But I think just the main thing, take time to be grateful. Gratitude list is, again, it's another big component of what we do. Within the course, it's every day have one. That's one of the tasks they have to do. Made things, but I don't care if other people do it. Brilliant if that's more people doing it. But gratitude list is a big thing that comes through. We have it, so everyone has to put it in, has to go in the main group. And so I start my day, for example, and it's just guys, 27 guys, whatever we've got at the moment, that have all got three things that they're grateful for that day. And it's such a simple, simple thing, and it has such a great effect. If you start your day writing three things, I do it every day, kind of thing. I actually have a book that we use, and I just do five things that I'm grateful for, and immediately you're starting your day in a better mindset, a more positive mindset, just appreciating what you have rather than looking at what someone else has got or what you haven't got. It's look at what I've got. I'm so lucky to be where I am with everything. So
I love that, because I often use, have you heard of Malabeads?
No.
Okay. They're It's like something that they do in, I think, the Buddhist religion, where they have it's just a massive necklace, and there are these little beads. I think they're actually made out of some sort of bean that you can eat, or whatever. And they put them on this big necklace, and there's, I think, 120 beads or something. And what I'll do is I'll hold one and I'll think of something that I'm grateful for or something that I'm looking forward to doing in the future, something to get excited about. I'll do that for every single bead and then I'll wear it. So you're almost like wearing your blessings, and because there's so many, there's 120, the first sort of 10, 20, 30 are fine. Then you start struggling a little bit. But what that does is it forces you to say things like, I'm actually grateful for my eyesight. I'm grateful that I can walk. I'm grateful that there's a roof over my head right now. I'm grateful that I've got food in my stomach. And you start going through all of these things. And so when you wear it, you really do feel like the most blessed person in the world. And so what you're doing with your guys, just getting them every day to put in a few blessings and a few things that they're actually grateful for, it can rapidly change the way that you actually see the world and see yourself. Because I think we're quite conditioned. We talk about like the campfires and survival and the primitive nature of humans. We're speaking about that earlier, and I think something else that comes quite naturally to humans is to be a bit negative because it keeps you alive. We've spoken about this on podcasts before, where it's like, oh, we've got this lovely cave here, but actually, what's it going to be like when it's cold? What's it going to be like at night? Should we stay here for X amount of time? You know, is there another predator living in here? Like, you've got to be quite negative because it keeps you alive.
Yeah.
So I think instantly or naturally, we tend to wake up and we think about the negatives. Oh, yeah, I've got to go to work. Oh, you know, my alarm's gone off at this time. Everything's just quite negative. But actually, if you wake up and do what your guys are doing and you send those positives, it dramatically changes your day. I don't know if you've experienced that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Yeah. And also, from another level, it's brilliant. You get there and it just makes you smile straight away. You're like, oh, you see. Yeah. But also, there's in terms of the camaraderie, you get to know each other much more because suddenly everyone's putting different things on. So everyone's appreciating totally different things. You know, some people it's about their family, some people it's about their pets, some it's all different things. And whatever it might be, or someone's parents unwell and they're grateful that their parents are feeling better, whatever it might be, but you just get to know everyone a little bit deeper level each time. So every time someone puts a gratitude list, it's like, great, let's hear what they're great. But also, I know a little bit more about that person. And for me, my job really is to try and understand everyone as much as I can. So for me, it's huge to just get a little bit more in depth to each person and go, okay, that's important to them, that's important to them. So when they need a little bit of motivation, a little bit, I can come in with the right things and kind of tickle the right taste buds, if that makes sense.
That
helps having that knowledge about them. So I think it's a great way to start the day.
Do you have to manage the banter levels as well? I can see guys in there be like, you know, I'm grateful for my wife, and someone's like, yeah, I'm grateful for your wife.
Sometimes there's a bit of there's lots of banter around flying around, and sometimes you have to manage it a little bit.
Nice. That's so good. Love all that. See, I've got next to my bed, I've got a notebook, and I call it my gratitude journal. But I write it in the evenings. And you saying this, and now I'm like, I'm either going to do both or change it up. Because what I do is I write like what's been good about my day, and it sort of helps me. I'm going to sleep on a positive note. But actually, you're right. It'd be better to start the day, wouldn't it, with like, you know, feeling good and positive about things.
Yeah, I think my journal actually have one that's the morning, which is great, and then the evening I have one at the same thing. What's gone well today and stuff. So
okay.
So I think it's a good
do both. Start and end positively.
Yeah, exactly.
Really good ideas, aren't they?
Yeah,
quite they simple are. Things to do as well.
It's so easy.
It makes sense as to why your guys are waking up and messaging you saying, "I just feel happier."
Don't
really know if it's the weight loss or the strength gain or the whatever, but I just feel happier, and it could well be down to that.
An accumulation of all the things. Like cold shower makes you feel great. Getting your steps in, you're going out in nature to get your steps, feel great. You know, you're losing weight, you see that you're succeeding if that's one of your goals. I always put on that it's not a weight loss course, but people will lose weight if that's what they're coming on for, because they're just doing the right things, they're kind of keeping accountable. But that as well, you're feeling better, as you said, on that front. So it's just, you know, more successes all the time. You feel good when you're successful with tasks. It makes you feel good. We all have it in us, I think. We all want that. So,
I'd love to touch on as well some of the before and after pictures that I've seen of your guys. Are absolutely incredible. Like, it just shows, obviously, one, how hard they're working, but two, how good you are as a trainer, for obviously what you're telling them to do, it is working. And you can see, and I don't use this word lightly, you know, dramatic transformations. People completely losing a lot of their, you know, men tend to get a gut. And a lot of that is visceral fat, which is going to be the dangerous fat that we really need to avoid. But they look good. They look good. They look strong. They look toned. They look muscular. And I think, you know, all men kind of want that a bit. They want to look good. They want to feel good. But they want to do it in a way that is humble, The way that you're doing it with your guys, it's not like we're going in the gym, we're going to look in the mirror, we're trying to get buffed to look good for women and stuff. It's not that. It's like we're trying to be healthy. It's longevity as well, longevity training. How are you exercising them? What fitness are you actually doing with them to get those transformations? Obviously, without giving too much away, because it's part of the program as a whole.
I don't mind if it helps people.
Because I'm thinking there's probably going to be people listening right now who are a bit sick of the conventional bodybuilding or going to the gym, using the machines, and they don't really know what they're doing. They're like, Dan, what are you doing with your guys? Because they're looking great.
Yeah,
it's day one, by now.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of tree cutting as well. No, I mean, really, it's simplicity. I mean, it's so simple. It really is. I'm not doing anything that every trainer's. I'm not putting in any extravagant exercises. It's literally press ups, squats, things like that. It's just ladder sets. There's nothing that's kind of extravagant at all. Get the steps in. It's the accumulation of everything that kind of that matters. So the nutrition side of things could be accountable for that. And again, I'm not doing anything that's majorly. That I'm sure every personal trainer doesn't do. It's just putting them all together in a way that they're consistent and they're doing it and they're really committed to it, because that is it. If someone's committed, and I spoke earlier, said clients that I had that had incredible results, they were the ones that turned up and were just, I have to do this, and they're determined and they just didn't let anything get in their way. And some they just did that. It's trying to get that with people now, because not everyone's going to turn up like that. So to get everyone into that boat where they can keep consistent and committed and constantly knowing what their reason for doing it is and everything else. If you've got that, it works. So there's nothing. I would love to tell you that I'm doing some sort of incredible. It's the simplest thing. Most of the guys haven't got gym equipment. In the gym, it's a basic circuit that everyone can do, whatever level of fitness they're at. There's some guys that are really fit. There's a couple of guys that are really, really fit. And then there's some guys who are at the other end of fitness who are kind of just starting their journey over. And they've all done really well, and they can all go into the circuit and they can all do it together. It's all interactive. They can all do it. There's no problem on that front. I've never put anything that's too extreme in, so everyone can do it. We're older guys, a lot of the guys now, so I don't want everyone putting their backs out and things like that if they can help it. So everything's pretty straightforward. But we also do a lot of rucking, so a lot of obviously the hiking and the ruck. I mean, I think it's the greatest exercise.
Yeah.
I can't believe, it took me a long time to. I used to do it all the time, accidentally, not really realising it. And it's only sort of actually started doing it in recent years as actually doing it as a training form. And I love it. We did the fan dance with a lot of guys, which is the SAS selection in January, and we're doing it again in June. And obviously everyone suddenly really got into rucking. And it just feels so strong when you take it off. And what's really interesting about it is I have a little bit of a problem with my Achilles. So I still play football, still playing vets football. But then it's actually, vets football sounds really hard, but actually it's the standard's still all right for the vets football. It's still quite a competitive league. Yeah. But the amazing thing is when I don't do any running, because every time it kept aggravating it, but then I'd go back to football and I think, oh, I haven't done any running, I haven't done any sprints or anything. And I felt as fit as I've ever felt, fast as I've ever felt, everything else. It just translates so well. It's incredible, because we're doing a lot of hill work, obviously, as well, on the walks, and with that weight on your shoulders. And yeah, it translates brilliantly to everything. So I massively advocate rucking and just simplicity of your exercise. I think it's what it's all about.
And rucking is simplicity, isn't it? Because you can just stick a dumbbell or a heavy object from your home in your backpack and go for a walk.
And it goes to everyone. So if someone's very strong and fit and wants to go like 50 pounds, they can do it. If someone's not, we've got mixed, and guys will go without anything. They're just getting up the hill is a challenge for some of them. That's the first bit. Or you just start with a £5 bag, a £10 bag, gradually build up. It's such a simple thing that everyone can get involved in.
Yeah, and it's interesting as well, because I was speaking to one of your guys and he said that lifting weight on his back, just going for long walks, has completely changed his posture. And I found that interesting, because when you are going to the gym and you're isolating muscles, you know, we've all probably been through that phase where you tend to isolate certain muscles more than others.
And big gun Friday.
Big gun, absolutely, chest day Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And what will happen then is you will cause imbalances within the body, and then you can get all sorts of things. You're going to get the rounded shoulders and the hips and everything, and things will get tight and try and even itself out. However, when you're lifting that weight on your back, your body's having to work as one unit. So I can imagine that's why his posture's improved. And I'd love to know if there's anything that you've noticed. I know you spoke about your Achilles and stuff. Is there anything else you've noticed from walking and hiking with weight on your back? Because again, going back to the primitive stuff, that's something we've always done. Yeah. You know, walking with weight, carrying weight. What's so good about that?
Yeah, well, I think it's that. Yeah, it's that natural thing. Because when you're also, I mean, the whole thing about being in a gym, the problem with that is it's still, even when you're lifting a barbell, it's still kind of structured for you, isn't it? When we're actually in regular life, you don't usually get something that's easy to lift or something that's, everything's kind of a bit more to one side or a bit more. So it's kind of having that where it's more natural and you have to adjust continuously, different terrains, everything else that you're going on. Your muscles are having to work completely differently. Your core activation is different, everything about it. So that's how I see it. It's just kind of testing you in a way that's, in ways that we just, you're not fixated in fixed positions. It's constantly challenging you, constantly out of your comfort zone, as we were talking about earlier, because everything you do is a different trajectory of a heel, it's a different angle of a heel, it's a the weight's a different weight. It might sit on your shoulder. My bag, the guys always take the mitt because I buy the cheapest stuff, and I always do. It's fine. It's, you know, it's what's in it, not what the bag is.
Nice.
So
you got like a Tesco's bag for life.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, on my shoulders. I get everything Sports Direct. It's like if it's more than £35, that's not me. So, and all the other guys are going, oh, I've got to get these shoes, and they're getting spending on these decent shoes, but the thing for that is my bag, it might sit a bit uncomfortably sometimes a bit, but you adjust to it, and it's kind of that's part of it, I think. Yeah, it just makes you generally strong.
Back to what we were saying before, isn't it, just getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. Like, absolutely. If you make all that too perfect, it's
exactly. Yeah, definitely.
This is great. So god, the it's like it ticks every box, doesn't it? From a mat, I was going to say, you know men very well, but I mean, you are one, aren't you? So I suppose that helps.
Yeah, I've had a few years.
How old are you?
43, I am, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, so we are for similar ages then, yeah. When you were talking about your sports science degree, where did you do it?
Loughborough.
Oh, okay, nice, great place to do that.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. I was actually always going to do history. I was always into history, that's what I loved. And I also did, so I was very into sport and things like that, and I just went and visited it, and I was like, actually, I'll go here, this is pretty cool. So it was like my sixth choice, but I just thought, well, I'm going for it.
You can do a PhD in history instead, can't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Viking history.
So, that's a good show, actually.
Yeah.
I'm comfortable with that, it'd be a new thing.
Yeah, your family will thank me for giving you planting that seed in your head. It's like, he's busy enough as it is, and now we get him to do PhDs. Okay, is there anything else, like, for anyone listening, if you know, obviously we've been asking a few questions, but is there anything else that you would like to sort of say to listeners about what you do and, you know, about the business? And
sorry, just to go on that as well, I'm sure there's so many people listening right now itching to get in touch with you and how can I be a Viking, like, how can I, you know, because maybe a little bit about how someone could potentially join if there's spaces.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a website at www.wayoftheviking.com, but it's with dash, the main one was gone, unfortunately, so it's with the dashes in between, but if you're happy, I'll put it on your... But yeah, but we do separate tours, so there's three tours a year, basically, is how we work it at the moment. So people can... The next one will be starting in September, because we've just started a new one, so the next one will be in September, but we're going to do, in between, there's quite a big gap between the end of this one and the next one, a little mini opportunity for people to kind of try bits out, so almost slightly more distance, then one can kind of try it from there, but in terms of the tasks, and have like a mini month where of a Viking month, if you like. So that'd be great if anyone wants to do that, and they can do that via the website, or they can find me on Facebook under, it's just Daniel Gainsfield under my name, so and find me on there, send me a message, and see if it's right for them. It's one of those things, people have to be ready. One of the guys that just joined, I think he'd messaged me before about other programs that I was doing, other things, and just never was quite right. And then he messaged me this time, and he's joined, and he's really into it straight away, which is great. But one of the things he said to me the other day was, you know, thanks for not chasing me all the time, I'm not going to chase, because you've got to be ready to come in. It's just, I'll let you know when things are, but that's it, because when the time's right, you'll jump in. And I think if someone's in a position where they think, it's not about mental health. I think a lot of people get put off because they think it's, you know, I've got to have some major issue. It's not about that. If you're just a man and you want to improve yourself, you want to jump out of your comfort zone, you want to be a little bit less stressed, you want to feel a bit better about life in general, be able to be more present with your wife, your children, or whoever it is, and that's what you want from life, this is the opportunity to do it. It's a chance to really investigate yourself and see where you can get to. We have these monumental challenges at the end. Like, we've just done a 100-kilometer hike, which we call the Knut's Long Walk, mainly because I just wanted people to have t-shirts with a bunch of Knuts on the back, which is that, but we didn't end up with that anyway. And I like King Knut, thought the Viking theme, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So we kind of made that up. But it's all the guys, when I said it to them, said they're all like, that's mental, there's no way we can do that from the start of 10 weeks. And out of the 20, 14 of them did the full 100. 17 of them got to 80 kilometres, which they thought was whatever. And the last guys got to 60, which is still a marathon and a half in that time. So they all said it was meant, but they all have done it. And the fan dance, the same people who completed it. We always have these challenges that are, I look at and go, that's pretty mental, but we'll do it. One way or another, we'll get us ready for it and push it. So it's a good opportunity for that as well.
Yeah, amazing. So I was going to say a slight tangent, but not really. You've watched Vikings, the series?
Oh, yes, yeah, love Vikings.
Yeah, we love that.
Yeah,
we're thinking about doing it again, actually, because we watched it a while ago, because it's finished a while.
A few of the guys have started going through it, and it's really, oh, God, which bit are you
going to go back through again?
Ragnar,
yeah.
A bit of a man crush on Ragnar. He's a bit of a ledge when he's going.
He is, that's yeah, that's definitely. True. Yeah, he's a good actor, that guy, isn't he? I can't remember his name, but Australian guy,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's great.
And, you should grow the beard out, Dan.
Yeah. I did start, and then my wife said, you've got to shave that.
That's exactly what mine was, yeah.
But I'm a Viking now.
Yeah, surely I can.
Yeah, no, I get the same every then. I get tempted, but I mean, trouble is, because I'm a bit ginger, you tend to not really grow more hair than you need to. Really. right, well, Dan, thank you very much for coming
me.
Here.
It's been great,
and fun. Yeah, but do you know what? It'd be lovely. I had this idea before you arrived, but it bit too late to get it organised. Is actually to get you back on in the future if you're happy to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But over a fire pit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
And, this has just come to me, we should do it. So on video, we'll do a fire and a cold water immersion.
Oh, God.
All three. That'd be awesome.
I need to talk about visceral fat.
Oh, yeah. Can we do this in like 6 months?
Otherwise, I'll be one of those old fashioned Victorian things, you know, when that covers the holes. We could be like the old Punch and Judy show in the corner, like coming out of the change.
Gosh, no, just get that on my head. I think a nice way to finish would be by saying three things that we're all grateful for today.
Nice.
So I'll let you panic. You probably got three that you're already aware of. I'm going to go with, I'm actually grateful for this conversation. I think this has been lovely. Dan, it's been amazing to catch up again. You've always been so easy to talk to and so down to earth and great. So, keep doing what you're doing. Is that a Viking?
Grateful for 999. Yeah. Whatever that was.
You've made me grateful actually for my health, something that I don't often think about, because when you're a fitness enthusiast or a fitness professional, you just like, oh, it's my identity, it's just who I am. But actually, it's a very fortunate position to be in. You know, there's so many doorways to go through in life, and I'm very grateful, I'm sure you are as well, that we've actually found health and fitness and what it can do for people. And I'm very grateful. What else am I grateful for today? I'm very grateful for being able to go home after this to my lovely girlfriend, relax and just chill out.
Look at her artwork, by the way.
Her artwork's amazing. Yeah. Grace Murray Art on Instagram. Good, is it? Mad. Oh, yeah.
That's the third time you've got shown me that.
I know.
Grace Murray Art.
Yeah, so there's me.
Amazing.
I'm grateful. Yeah, I feel like I'm just going to repeat everything you've just said now. Great to meet you face to face, definitely. Do you know what's really nice is when somebody is passionately reinforcing everything that you believe in, although that sounds a little bit like a cult, doesn't it? But we'll start our own cult. Like all that stuff, like, you know, I love the rucking, I love the fire pits, I love all that, you know, we've just been talking about. So it's just nice to hear it again and you know, keep the momentum going myself with things. I am very grateful for the fact that this is my profession. I've just been chatting to two quality guys and getting paid for it, so pretty grateful for that.
Yeah, pretty cool, eh? Yeah, absolutely. Well, gratitude back to you. Thanks for having me on. It's been great. It's been a great crack.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, fantastic. Went up for that campfire. That'd be always happy for a campfire anyway. Even more to a good chat. Yeah. So great for that. And I'd love to put gratitude to all my Vikings. Obviously, I have to say thanks to them, because I say to them every time, this can be the best program you've ever been on, or it can be the worst program. Yeah. It all depends on how you engage and how you commit to it. So the fact that they engage and give it everything they've got makes it what it is and creates the culture that it is. So I'm hugely grateful to them. And I'm also grateful to my wife and kids. I've always put them in there.
Lovely. So George said he was grateful for Grace. You said you. So I now feel like.
Got you to get a third one in.
Yeah. And I'm also very grateful for Samantha. In case she's listening, but I don't. She won't be listening. She won't listen to this. But I do. I love her very much. I adore her. Right. Cheers, guys. We'll chat thanks a little bit much. More off camera. Yeah. Thanks again.
Thanks so much for having me.
Cheers, Dan.
Cheers. Thanks.
Now, if you enjoyed today's episode, something you can do for me is subscribe to my show. And if you know anyone else that might be interested in this content, then please share it with them too. You can also head over to our socials and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. But if you're ready to take that next step, visit our website, www.stormfitnessacademy.co.uk, fill out a contact form, that'll come straight to me. I will contact you shortly afterwards, and I look forward to speaking to you then.